for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, July the 3rd, 2001. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gisela Husan, our missionary in the Philippines, is the speaker of the morning.
Last night, we heard about our pity party, and we all know about them very well, especially as ladies. We heard how we make ourselves, or try to make ourselves, feel good, but we actually do a lot of damage to ourselves. And last night, I hope we all let go of it forever. So when the next temptation comes to have a pity party, we don't just hug it and accept it, but we say, in the name of Jesus, God, I have nothing to do with you anymore. Because our brother last night said that our pity parties hinder faith. I want to talk about faith. I want to read Mark 11:22. Very short, very easy. Have faith in God. That's it. You know, what faith really means, or this sentence really means, why don't you just trust me? You see, we don't do that. We think, have faith in God. God is up there. He's so big. We cannot measure up. But it is very simple. Why don't you just trust him? You know, I looked up faith in the dictionary, and it means complete trust, loyalty, a strong conviction, no doubt, no questioning, a strong assurance. That's faith. Do you have that faith in your loving Heavenly Father? He says he wants to be your friend. Do you have that faith in him? You know, every time the Lord speaks to us, and I hope he speaks to you, we have to make a decision. Either we trust and obey him, or we push him away. It's our choice. He's not pushing us. It's our choice. You know, for me it was a lot easier to trust the Lord with a husband around, because the husband was kind of my covering. And, well, I trust my husband to lead me the right way, and I obeyed the Lord anyhow too. But it was easier. And suddenly when I had no my husband, you know, people say, oh, just lean on the Lord. You know, it's not quite that easy. I had to really learn how to communicate with him, how to talk with him, how to get up in the morning and ask him, how do I do this today? This is the only way. We heard it last night. Just do it. And I had to learn to trust him for my finances, for my family. I had to trust him for the finances for our mission home in Manila, for Bethesda. It's a four-story building. About 20-plus people are getting fed every day, and it depends, more or less. I had to trust him for all the outreaches we are making, and I had to trust him for a new building project we are doing. Hey, that's not easy. But have faith in God. I don't own money, but he owns it all. You see? When I just look how he told me to build a three-story building with no money, I said, it's your building. I don't worry. When I don't have money, I stop. Listen, we are up to the top. We have the roof on. We're not finished inside, but we have the roof on. And I sometimes just stand there and look at this building and say, wow, he's awesome. If I just trust him. Now, if I don't trust him, comes the pity party. Doubt. What happens? We cry. We feel really great. No, we don't. We feel really ugly. Because only faith in God can lift us up and get us where we are supposed to go. But there's one more thing. We cannot have faith if our hearts are not pure. You see, pity party is not pure. Because it gets the connection with our Father damaged. You know, I know you have perfect phone lines here, but in Manila, many times we pick up our phone, it goes, you cannot hear anything. And this is what sin of unpureness does with the relationship of our Father. So we cannot hear him, and I don't think he can hear us neither. Or maybe he doesn't want to hear us that well. I don't know. But what does pure mean? It means spotless, stainless, free from harshness or roughness, free from moral faults or guilt. So what are our spots? What are our spots which hinder the fellowship with our Father? It's all these little sins. You know, the ones we hide away back and we hope nobody catches them. It's the ones which are our pet sins, which we hack and rock and try not to let go. It's our habits. It's the big I, always me, me, me. You know what I'm talking about. And of course, self-pity. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You want to see God? Well, have a pure heart. You can do it. Just give it all to Jesus. Don't keep it in there. So if we have a pure heart, we can grow and we can trust the Lord. We can completely trust him without a doubt because we believe in him. And then he will do great things through us because he can use us. And he will work with us. Can the Lord work with you? Sure he can. I'm just like you. I have the same flesh and bones. The only thing is, I said, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm willing to do it. You know, one time my husband was in Ghana. I think in Accra, Ghana. And he was ready to build a mission station. He was out in the bush. So from Ghana, we were still out about 4 more hours in the countryside. No phone, no water, no nothing. And because it was starting pioneer work, he said he will go ahead with another brother. They will build the mission station, and then the kids and I will come and follow. So I was in Oklahoma City at that time. I enjoyed it. I love to be an American housewife. Only I have to let it go again and again. And I got a phone call from him, and he said, I want you to come to Ghana. I will pick you up in the airport in 3 days. On top of that, we are out of money. I need you to make the mission account empty, exchange it into German marks because we get better exchange rate, and bring it all along. Oh, cool. He hung up. He was gone. I had no contact name. I had no contact number. I had absolutely nothing. And I was going to Accra, Ghana to find my husband, hopefully in the airport. Well, I called a travel agent, and guess what? There was no flight on that day. It was a day earlier. So I got some of my friends together and we prayed for the Lord to give me a Christian taxi driver, who knows what, to find my husband. Because I didn't know where to go. I've never been there in my life. So how can I try to find him? It's like going to New York. I mean, Accra is the capital. Going to New York and say, okay, Lord, I want to find my husband in New York. It's crazy. But many times what seems crazy to our mind, it's nothing for the Lord. You see, have faith in him. So I got everything accomplished. I left. I had only 2 kids at that time. I found a place for them to stay. A friend helped me to exchange all the money into German marks, and I was ready to go a day earlier. Well, I didn't feel really comfortable, all excited to see how it's going to work. I was a little chicken, you know. My heart was a little going too quick at times, and I got nervous at times. But I was hanging on to have faith in God because he's the only one who can help me. No human being could have helped me right then. And as I was, I think there was a stop down somewhere in an African country, I don't know which one, I got really kind of itchy and I said, Lord, now you have to do something. We are getting very close to my destination and I'm a day too early, I have no idea what to do. So I thought I'm going to be a little bold, and at this time I was very shy. Now I learned a lot in the meantime. And I went in the back to talk to some of those businessmen who were standing there after drinking a little bit, you know, and talking. And I interrupted them and I asked them if they knew these missionary friends my husband knew. This was the only place I could imagine I can get anyhow close to him somehow a day too early. But of course, they don't know. They're businessmen. What do they have to do with missionaries, you know? And I sat back in my chair, and I wanted to almost have a pity party, but I didn't. I said, Lord, this is your problem. I'm getting here. I don't know what to do. So it's yours. And then the Lord pointed my eyes to a lady with two kids. And it was like, you should talk to them. But you know, I'm too shy. I cannot talk to them. But it was like the Lord put a needle in my hiney. I stood up and I walked. Before I realized I was already half there, I said, what am I going to do? So I went to that lady. I told her that I'm looking for my husband in the capital city. I have no idea how to find him. Of course, she didn't know my friend, this friend's needle. And she said, never mind, honey. I take you with me. You just go home with me. We take care of you. Wow, cool. This lady never saw me in her whole life. And she invited me. And you know, I found out that she was the wife of the manager of Firestone. I know you don't like to hear that name right now, but it was a great blessing for me. And a person came to pick her up and her kids that did all the legal work with immigration. And she just gave my passport to that guy, too. I'm a German citizen, so I didn't need a visa to go to Ghana. I get a stamp for 3 weeks immediately, and then you get an extension. So when this guy had my papers, the immigration officer said 3 weeks. He said, no, she wants to stay 6 weeks. Give her 6 weeks. No, only 3 weeks. He said, 6 weeks. I got 6 weeks. I didn't do anything. The Lord just did it all. And then the lady took me home, and I realized I wasn't a Catholic home, but she was a charismatic Christian. She was just learning all these new things. She got into it, and boy, we had an awesome time. I could teach her a lot. And then the next morning, she invited me to go shopping with her. And I said, oh, cool. Let's find my husband in a shopping center. Now, this is like in New York. I'm going shopping, Lord. Let my husband go to a shopping center. Only my husband hates to go shopping. And so in the first shopping center, I looked everywhere. No husband. Second shopping center, I looked everywhere. No husband. And, of course, he was outstanding. These African people, they're all shorter and black. And my husband is big and white. I can see him easy. The third shopping center, I gave up. I felt like this is a hopeless situation. And we walked to the meat counter, and guess who stood there? My husband. The Lord put him there. The Lord made him go shopping for me. I mean, he would not go out for me to get meat, but he had to go out for this missionary lady to get meat. And at the same time, at a point of time for the Lord. Only God can do that. Have faith in God. You see, this is not the end of the story. I mean, I found my husband, we did our work, but later on, we went back home because we finished the station, and we went back for a little while to the States, and then we went with the family back. And when we were back there with the family, Ghana went really down economically, and it was many problems there. And you could not buy tires anymore, and we had 4 tires which were really bad and couldn't buy any. Except on the black market, with about 5 times the price of a normal tire. Well, I got Firestone. We marched to my Firestone lady, and the husband helped us. We got tires for a normal price. That's what the Lord does. He will work with us. Listen, I experienced it. This is not a story out of a book. Have faith in God. He's an awesome God. And then he also says, he will work with us with miracles following. You are prayed for miracles. This is part of the deal. But remember, pure heart, close relationship, obedience. Usually we hate to hear the word obedience, but it's part of the deal. It's a package deal. Okay, one time my husband was in India. And you know, it's hard to convince a Hindu priest to get saved. You and I, we cannot do it. It takes the Lord to do that. And at that time when he was there, the Hindu priest was still bringing human sacrifices until about 6 weeks before he got there. So, here one Hindu priest had a vision one night, and he saw a cross coming down from the sky. This cross was surrounded by a bright shine, and he shouted out, "This is the true God." You know, they're Hindus. They don't believe in God. And when this cross came to the ground, there was a white man standing there explaining the whole thing. The next evening, the Lord led my husband in his village. This Hindu priest was one of the people who got saved that night. This is what God does. if we are willing and have faith in Him. Well, in Africa, also you have not fancy water system like you in the States. You don't just press a button and it flushes. You go in the outhouse. I tell you, all kinds of miracle experiences now, huh? So your faith gets filled up. And you have no more excuses, because these are all testimonies of human beings like you and me. Okay, our outhouse, we just had a whole duck. We put two sticks on it, and the sticks had kind of a Y, and the stick went across. And you have to aim to hit the hole. Okay, this is your outhouse. And you need privacy in the outhouse, true? So we built just a mission station, so we had all the cement bags. So we put sticks around it and made it kind of like a circular thing, like a snail thing, so people could walk in and have privacy. Now, if it rains, you had to hurry up. There was no roof. And yeah, one time a friend of mine came to visit me, and she was busy on the stick doing her business. And in came a snake. Well, you have a problem. You're not finished. You cannot get out. There's only one exit, one entrance. The snake is coming in. And she's a real cool lady. She just sat there and said, there's not enough room for both of us, you know. And I'm busy right now. In the name of Jesus, you go. That thing turned around and went out. Have faith in God. We have the promises. My Bible has many promises. I don't know about yours. But we have to just stand on it. We forget it, you see. You know, in the Philippines, in 90, I think it was, Mount Pinatubo erupted. And you heard about the tragedy here on the news. I mean, many people got buried alive. This was one of the tallest mountains there, and it lost one-third of its height. And it was blown up into pieces. And this happened in the middle of a typhoon. So there was a lot of ash everywhere. And since it was in a typhoon, I mean, in the middle of a typhoon, it had a bigger effect because the wind blew it everywhere. Manila was dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. People were running around thinking the end of the world came. But anyhow, in that tragedy, many people got buried alive because many of their villages were in the valleys. And now came these big waves of about 6 meter high waves of ash and water down. And it just filled up the valleys. They had no place to go. And so many people got killed. And then the Lord told my husband that we should work in a city called Tent City, where the government took all the homeless people. And you see, Mount Pinatubo was their God. These were untouched people. The missionaries couldn't reach them yet because they were so far into the mountains. So the Lord sent that catastrophe to get them out. We got all into Tent City for them to be reached. They prayed to their God, who did all this harm to them. And now we came into these villages with the true God. And you should see what happened. They believed in Him. And it was like in Jesus' time. We saw miracles you wouldn't believe. I mean, these two, I saw them. My kids saw them. My middle kid, who was about 7 or 8, he said, I'm going to stick with the doctor. The doctor knows what's wrong with the people and he can tell if they're healed. And he saw many miracles. But you see, because of that, when they all, it was, I don't know how many thousand, in one huge area. But they are so much tribal that they did not mix. Their little groups, like their little villages, stuck together. So when we first walked into Tent City, we had many people following us, kids. When we walked over a little walkway, no more, we lost them all. They don't mix. So we had to go from village to village and preach the gospel. So we had teams coming in. We wrote to America, but nobody came. We wrote to Malaysia, and Malaysian teams started coming, and Singapore also. And we went in with the teams because there's no way we could do it all. No way. And we made mini teams and split them up. And each team had about 3 meetings in one morning. And people got saved. With one team, they had faith for the ears to open. And with that team, in every village they went, deaf ears opened. Nothing else. Salvation and deaf ears open. The next team had faith for blind eyes to open. And when we prayed with the people, they could see. Just like that. And you know, in these villages, you know that it is true, because the whole village knows that this lady is blind, but which I prayed for at that time with my team. And when we prayed with that lady and she could see, the whole village went bananas. I mean, literally, they had jumped up and down, they acted like nuts. Because it was reality, you see. No doubt, faith. And she looked at my face and she said, "Lou, you look like a ghost." She never saw a white person in her life. I mean, and suddenly I look so different than everybody else. This is what God does. And in one team, we prayed for one little boy who couldn't walk. His legs were all twisted up, but nothing happened. Then we came about 3 weeks later, and the mama came to us and said, "Remember this boy? The last team prayed for him. Look at him now. He was running around like a normal kid." See, we don't know why the Lord doesn't do some things instantly. We don't know. We are supposed to not question him. Believe him. Let him work through you and with you. Never mind all this other stuff. You know, if you would have seen me in the early years when I worked with my husband, you know, way back, I was very shy. My husband was very big, so I could hide behind him very good. And I did a good job. I mean, I prayed for him and I said, "Lord, bless us, use us, but really use him, not me." I was hiding. And in the tent city later on, the people would mix better. And the Lord showed me to do a healing crusade. My husband said, "Okay, you go." Okay, I was on the spot now. So I had another friend going with me. I think he was from Sweden. And the sick people would come to the front. Well, one lady came to me. When I looked up, I had my eyes closed, just praying for everybody. And she came to me, and she had a goiter hanging like this. I said, "Oh, Lord, you are on the spot. She wants to be healed. It's your job. All I know is lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover through." So I placed my hands here. And I was kind of stupid. I closed my eyes. I don't do that anymore. I want to see the miracle. And I saw many awesome things. And when I put my hands down, my son would go up and down, up and down to sing God. I said, "Wow, cool." I mean, she had more faith than I did. I just said, "Lord, you're on the spot." And when I looked up, there were four more ladies, altogether five. When I prayed with the last one, I was still praying. She said, "Hey, stop praying. I'm already healed." But you know, when you feel the power of the Lord going through you, I mean, it's awesome. It changed me. I'm never the same. My husband had a hard time keeping up with me after that. And then another lady came to me. She had arthritis. Her hands were all crippled up. And I placed my hands in hers, and I could feel it and hear it going crick, 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 and the hand totally perfect. This is what the Lord wants to do it. He promised us he will work with us with miracles following. It's a promise. A friend of mine, he was demonstrating to walk with Jesus. You know, like he grabbed the lady from the first chair here, and she was kind of very slow in coming. And he said, "What in the world is she doing?" You know, and he was walking. Not behind Jesus, walking with Jesus. But as he was pulling her, she was crippled, and he didn't know. And she got her healing right in front of the whole congregation. Jesus is awesome. We don't know it. We don't know how he wants to work. We don't know who he wants to use. We need to just be available. Have faith in God. You know, there was a missionary, I think he was from Christ for the Nation, who was in Africa in one of the countries where there are cannibals. You know, they like to eat people. You know, some of the people taste very good to them, especially the white ones. They have sweet meat. I mean, that's what we heard in Africa. Because in Nigeria, when we were there, there was areas where they told you to not stop for anybody. I mean, race through anybody, because they would kill you and eat you. And this guy was captured by the cannibals. And he was tied up, and he could see him how they were making a big water pot already ready to cook him. I mean, what can he do? He was captured. He was tied up. He couldn't move. The Holy Spirit came on him. He spoke in tongues. and he spoke in their language. He gave them a total salvation message. The whole village accepted the Lord. It's awesome. Have faith in God. He is an awesome God. In the Philippines, we have a lot of little problems like no power, no water. And we learn to deal with it. But sometimes it gets very aggravating. And like one time I had about 80 plus pastors in my house. This was after my husband already passed away. And no water. Can you imagine that mess? It was a stinky mess. So I said, Lord, what are we going to do? This is really, you know, getting to a point where it's unbearable. Plus we had the pregnant ladies in the house and, you know, we need water. And the Lord said, drill a well. Oh, cool. I'm a lady. I don't know how to drill a well. And I said, okay, I told my son, who is working with me, you know, call, make some phone calls and see if we find a company. And he found somebody. He made quotation. He got one company, which was the cheapest. It was $3,000. Well, $3,000 is a lot of money. So I said, Lord, you know, this is a lot of money. How about you just fix that subdivision well, you know, and then we have water again. And I left it with that. I was not obedient because this was a clear instruction. Because the Lord spoke to me to drill the well. He told me to go up the hill, 1 meter this way, 1 meter this way, and drill it. And you see from my mind, it's stupid to go up the hill. You go down the lowest part, right? Because you have to drill anyhow. Anyhow, I left it at this, and I went to an outreach. I was scheduled to go to St. Paul's to have an outreach. We had an awesome outreach. Many things happened. The Lord worked with us. And I came back to Manila, and there came a friend of ours, which was a close friend of my husband's, who knew me for a long time, and he said, Gisela, something is wrong with you. I said, no. He said, something is wrong with you. You better go in the bedroom and ask the Lord to show you what's wrong. Whoops. I went in my bedroom. I said, okay, Lord, I try to obey. I try to do everything you tell me to do. He said, what about the well? Whoops. So I told my son, we have to call that company. We had the company come out immediately. I mean, I did not waste any time. If other people can see that I'm bad with the Lord, it's bad. So he called the people. Take part their things. And I think here you have modern stuff. We had a little generator which came with a little drilling thing. And but what came along with it was, I think in the States you call them water witches, who walk through the properties and with the sticks to see where there is water and where there is not. So I told them where they need to drill, and their sticks said there is no water. And we had a problem. They didn't want to drill there. But the Lord told me to drill there. So they told me over there and there and everywhere, you know, all different places, there's water, but not there. And my son had uneasy feelings, and he thought, this is really stupid. You know, we never saw that. I mean, I'm not from the country. I had never encountered anything like this. And so he wanted to test the spirits. So he went out and he said, okay, what is this stick doing? And he said, well, there's... They said, well, if there's water, the sticks will somehow knock or move. And so he took a bucket of water and they put the sticks on top. Nothing happened. He said, then they said, well, the water is supposed to be running. So we let around the water, water bucket, we let the water hose run. So the water is running through. The sticks did nothing. So my son said, just go and obey my mom. So they went up and started drilling. The whole time they think, you know, nuts. These white people, they're nuts. They don't know what they're talking about it. And, you know, I have no idea how long it takes to drill a well. I mean, I have no idea. And it kept on drilling. They kept on drilling. And you know, this is a new property we bought. The name for the building is Springs of Living Water. So I thought, oh, the Lord is going to do an awesome miracle. You know, they drill a little bit and the water is gushing out. It never works how we want it to work. Never, ever. It goes His way, not our way. But you see, we try to force God to do it our way. And that's why we get in trouble all the time. If we just surrender and let Him do it, we have peace and joy. And it was an awesome time to be with the Lord. So nothing happened. And I wrote a fax to that man who was in my house. He told me something was wrong with me. And I told him, since he was a friend of my husband's, I told him, you know, do you think I wasted the Lord's money? Do you think I drilled the well and was not supposed to? Do you think I did not hear of the Lord? And I was kind of, you know, questioning, did I or did I not? And he sent a fax back. And usually you don't hear a fax. A fax goes click, click, you know, very quiet. And I mean, this is in the office. My bedroom is next to the office. So it's almost impossible to hear. But I heard it. And I was awake. So I got up and I read his fax. And he said, it could be that you didn't hear from the Lord. It could be that you wasted the Lord's money. But how about all the demonic powers you invited on your property with those water witches? And he said, I think you should walk through the whole house and cast every demon power out which could have hidden anywhere, and then do the same thing on the empty property and the well. Well, I went back to bed because I was tired, and I thought, boy, I'm stupid. Yeah, I have work to do, and I go back to bed. So this was 2 o'clock in the morning or so. So I got up again, and I walked through the whole house. I don't think anything could have hidden anywhere by the time I was finished. I mean, I did a thorough spiritual house cleaning. But I was a little too afraid to go outside, you know. It was in the middle of the night. So I asked the Lord to wake me up just at daybreak. So He woke me up very early. It was just daybreak. And I went out, and I did the same thing on the property outside, around the whole mission property. I walked the lines, I did everything, I went to the well, I climbed the hill, and it's very difficult for in a construction site to climb the hill and all that, but I did it. I obeyed the Lord. I did it all. At about 9 o'clock, my son came, and I told him what happened that night, and he went to the well too and commanded the well to bring forth water. Guess what? We had water that day. The well never ran dry until today. And He will never run dry because the Lord put the water there. The Lord put the well there. And these people, you should have seen these people. First they tell me I'm nuts. Now they are the nuts. But we could tell them, the Lord told us to reobey it, and He put the water there. And you know, we didn't have to drill so deep according to the area there. The Lord really put the water there. Because in the meantime, we had some resort areas which built around us. And some of them drilled. They had to go double and triple the depth we did to find their water. The Lord put it there. You see, this means for us, we have to be obedient to the tiny things. I mean, He gave me instructions, 1 meter, 1 meter. If I would have gone 150, I would have missed it maybe. I don't know. Be obedient to the Lord. Many times say, until the I dot. He wants totally obedience. And many times He tells us stuff and we say, Lord, do you mean me? I think you mean this lady or this lady, not me. But no, He wants to use us. Each one of us, we have absolutely no excuse. Okay, look at Mark 16. That's my favorite scripture. And in Germany, what happened to my Mark? Mark 16. And in Germany, Mark means Marcus, and my oldest son got his name Marcus from Mark 16 because I like it so much. And believe me, we had to use all these scriptures. In Africa? You bet. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes and with their hands. And when they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. Who said this? Is this me saying it? It's Jesus saying it. And you see, I experienced each one of them. Each one. And I stand on His promise. I have faith in God. I trust my Jesus. If my Jesus tells me to go to Africa and live in the jungle, and drink water out of a lake where the people take their bath in it, where the people pee and poo in it, where the carabaos, the water buffaloes, do the same. And I have to drink that water. There is no other water. What should I do? I have to have faith in God. When the people bring me the water, I boil it for 30 minutes to kill all the germs, or I would be stupid. Because the Lord gives us a brain too. So we have to follow our brain too. And then we drink it. Nothing happened. I'm still alive. It didn't taste good. Because the taste doesn't go out. So there was a funny smell. But the Lord honors His word if we stand on it. And you know, if we look at John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will even do greater things than these. It's a promise. I know the questions are always, why don't we experience this here? Why don't we? I don't know. I think we have to check our own lives. We heard that we have to have faith in God, that we really have to trust Him. But here, with our modern brain, we analyze everything and we question. If we do that, that's not faith. That's not trust. You see? When you tell these native people, like in the Philippines or in Africa, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, really? Why? And you tell them that, they believe it. You see? When you tell them Jesus wants to heal you, they don't question. They believe. And they get the miracle. I want to tell you one story. It's an embarrassing story, but I think I better share it. The Lord has told me to. I was having really, really stomach pain with my female stuff. I was on outreach, and I told my team to please pray for me. And one of the guys in the team, he said, I want these natives who just accepted the Lord to pray for you. I said, oh no. So these people never heard about healing and everything. They just accepted the Lord. So I was in the center, and I had about 25 or so people around me who never laid hands on anybody. We'd never heard this till we did hands-on teaching right then. And I tell you, I got squeezed, I got pushed, I got pressed. I don't know what all that did to me. And it was hot. It was about, 100 degrees heat. And I was in the middle of all these stinky people. And I said, Lord, why is this happening to me? So my attitude really stank. You see? But you know what? Their faith did it. I was healed. You see? What's your attitude? Just be obedient to the Lord. He wants all of us. All this junk, these little things hinder us from His glory. So, we all know Jesus is alive and He wants to be our friend. Is He your personal friend? He wants to use you. He said, what? Who can I use? That's the question He asked us. He said, who can I use? Who is willing? What is your answer? Are you going to trust Him today? In order to do that, we have to let go of our junk. All these little things which are between Him and us, we have to let go. And then we will see how He can use us. Awesome. It's awesome to serve Him. I don't want to miss it. The joy is deep within, and there is peace. Because we are obedient and we do what He tells us to do. Why don't we stand up right now? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You are in our midst. We know because we invited You. And Holy Spirit, I ask You right now to speak to everybody. Lord, You know what is deep down in our hearts. You know the depth, all the secret areas, Lord Jesus. You know it. We know we cannot keep anything from You, and right now we ask You to bring it to the open. Lord, just show us. Show us our habits. Show us the little secret sins. Show us anything that is standing between you and us, Lord Jesus, right now. And help us to be honest. Help us to repent. And help us to be free. Lord, I ask you to set us free. Help us not to play Christian, but to be a true Christian, a sold out Christian to you, Lord Jesus. And the Lord says to you, I love you very much. I love you so much that I gave my life for you. And I long for you to have the full blessing in me. I long for you to be obedient. I long for you to do what I tell you to do. I want to use you. Don't hold back from me. I want to use you just as I am, as you are. I want to use your talents, your gifts. Don't say, I cannot do this or I don't want to do this. I want to use you. Give your whole life to me. Everything. I want all of you because I want to use you. I don't know, but I feel like we just need to spend some quiet time before the Lord. I know the Lord is speaking to many right now. Because many of you say, I want to be used. But you have to do some cleaning up. So let's do the cleaning up. I do it for you. I do it for me, you all do it for yourself. Very easy. You see, like you expect your kids to obey, the Lord expects you to obey. Just do it. Very simple. Brother Glenn wants me to share one more thing. He is very interested in the work in Vietnam. And he wants me to share one trip. I have to think which one. Okay. Well, you see, in Vietnam, we do pastor and leadership seminars. What's going on in Vietnam is that there was a revival, and four people accepted the Lord during that revival. And it was three guys, one girl. And these four people got to go to Saigon for training. Now, it is illegal to preach the gospel in Vietnam. You go to jail. You get kicked out. You get fined with money, whatever mood they are in, okay? And my husband used to work in Vietnam, and so after he passed away, my board said, well, it's your job now. And I was really scared the first time, because I was in Vietnam in 75. We brought 23 orphans out of Vietnam just as Vietnam fell. And it was scary. By the way, back there is a book right at the cashier of all of my husband's testimony. His whole life story is in it. And if you want to buy it, it costs $5. If you don't have money, just take it and be blessed. I have a few more in the car. And there's a prayer card. Pray for me too and my family as we do the work of the Lord. Okay, so every time I go to Vietnam, I have to be very sure it is the Lord. Or I play with my life, let's say, like that. Or I give the devil a big foot to kick me and get me to jail. And I do not want to be disobedient, not in Vietnam for sure. And so you have to just make sure you hear from the Lord, go and obey, and don't think about anything. As soon as you get in the country, it's like a spirit of heaviness comes on you. And I guess to a point, the spirit of fear wants to come on you because you are doing illegal things. I see the whole time you fight the spirit of fear because you know God sent you. And we have to obey God more than the government at that point. And so when you're ministering in Saigon, it's really awesome because they put you in a hotel usually, in a little hotel. And they come and they tell you, we pick you up at this time. Just be ready. Wait at the hotel. And then the little motorcycle comes. Oh, I hate driving motorcycles. But in Vietnam, you get picked up on the motorcycle. You get to sit in the back of one. And they take you side roads and down all those many roads. You're lost. But that nobody can follow you, you see. Because here's a foreigner going sightseeing if you go through all these little roads. But if you go down the main road and then stop at a destination, and I bet they know where the house churches are or where the Christians live. They know a lot about that. So when the motorcycle takes me to the place, they say, get off and run in that house quick. And you do that. And when you run there, there are people waiting to hear the gospel. And this is always pastors and leaders. You never minister to the ordinary people because it's too dangerous. And what they do, you train the pastors, you train the leaders, and they tape it, and then they teach it on. And on the trip which Brother Glenn wants me to share, the Christian Missionary Alliance asked me to come. Now, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And they asked me to come and minister to their pastor's wives. So first from Saigon, we had to take a bus. We drove into the mountains. I think the trip was about six, 7 hours or so. I forgot. And then when we got into the town, up in the mountains somewhere, it was raining like crazy. So you don't think police is out looking for you when it's raining. But up there, you know, if a tourist comes, they know. And that same night, the police knocked at the pastor's house and said, "You got a guest." He said, "No." Because he moved me out to a hotel. So he didn't have a guest, you see. And this hotel, they were hiding us. We were, I think, up in the fifth floor, on the top floor. And they didn't find us anyhow. And I was forbidden to go out. I had to stay in all the time. Because there, I mean, it is very easy to see if I'm white and they're all Vietnamese. And so the pastor's wives, they come sneaking into the hotel one by one. I watched them leaving because I was up and I looked down. And one by one, there's just a motorcycle drives up, one hops on and gone. Next one, that's how they go. So it's very, very secretive. But you know, I thought they came in my hotel room. We had a meeting on my bed. They were all over my bed and my pillows. They took showers in my bathroom because they don't have showers. I had nothing private anymore. That was new to me. Because I like at least my pillow, you know, clean. But they sat right on it. Okay. You get used to almost anything. And so we did the training. And at the end, I ministered to them. Now, I didn't tell them that this is the Holy Ghost. I said, "You want a blessing from the Lord." And the Holy Ghost fell. And at the end, the pastors came to pick up their wives at the very last and to tell me thank you. So I put pastor and wife together. I let them hold hands. And all these ladies, which got full of the Holy Ghost, they prayed for their pastor and their wife. And you should see what happened. Some of these pastors, they couldn't stand up. It was really awesome. It's awesome when we serve the Lord, you see. And I left. So the police came afterwards. They could never catch me. That's what the Lord does. Another outreach which was not quite up in the mountain. We usually do not go up. We bring the pastors and the leaders into resort area where I have to pay for the hotel for them, for me. I mean, it's a cheap hotel, but still. And these are the mountain pastors who work in the provinces only. And we had 25 pastors we usually have, or 20 couples, between 20 and 25 couples, husband and wife. And you see, when that revival came, these people got only training, the rest didn't. They go back, they share about Jesus, they became a prayer group. Then they share again, the prayer group grows into a church, it gets bigger and bigger. The last group which we went there, the 25 pastors, they are overseeing 9,000 people. So you know there's a lot going on. It's all secret, all underground. You know how they do water baptism? They all get in the water, the pastor stands outside, they all put hands on themselves, the pastor prays from the outside, they dip under and run away. Because if they get caught, they all go to jail. Do you think the Lord honors that? I think so. We have to just flow with the group. But you see, these pastors, which we get there, they don't have only little training. Once in a while, they get to go to Saigon, get a little training, and go back. Now, there was a big problem in this network now. Because the pastor's wives never got trained in how to be a pastor's wife. And they were still farmer's wives. So when I got them first, you know, I had to learn all that. And I found out some of them are not even saved. So we got them saved, we get them spirit filled, and then we work with them. And I have 3 days to make a farmer's wife into a pastor's wife. It works with the Holy Spirit. It works. Because during that time, the 3 days, each one gets prayed for. And we make a circle. It works really, really good when you make a circle of believers and put one in the center. Wow, it's a hot spot. No demonic power can stand that. And we have awesome things happening like this. So the Lord, that's my task now. And I will go back in October to train these pastors' wives to be a real pastor's wife. That's my job. So you can pray for me as I go back. But you see, my last trip, which was last year supposed to be, I had no peace about it. And I didn't know why I didn't have peace. I felt like I should go, but I had no peace. And I could not hear the Lord to tell me no or yes. So the Lord sent a typhoon, and we couldn't go. The flight was totally canceled. So you see, it is very important to obey the Lord in whatever we do. And it's, like I said, it is awesome. Especially to work. I like to work with the provincial people because they really need help. The town people don't need so much help, especially in Vietnam. Now everybody wants to go to Vietnam because it's the thing in the States. If you have been in Vietnam, you look cool. Well, that's not the point. You see? And in one meeting, we eat with them, we eat all their food, and some of it is really interesting, like fish heads, fish eyes, and everything. Fish eyes are specialties. And yeah. And one breakfast meeting, the pastor from Saigon said, I need to counsel with you all. So my team, we were together with his team in one of the hotel rooms, counseling and praying. Breakfast came and went. The meeting already started. And we went into the meeting. We came late. And it was like, wow, what happened? Something is different. And you see, we cannot communicate. I mean, it's hard to communicate even with the pastors. You need interpreters. Their English, if they know it, is so difficult. You can never understand it. And not many people speak English. And so my interpreter, she said that the police came at breakfast. And the police was interrogating them, asking them what they're there for. But you see, there was no Saigon people. These were only mountain people. No Saigon, and of course no white face. So they couldn't do anything to them. If we would have been there, we all would have marched to jail. Is that a coincidence? No, it's the Lord's leading. And then, of course, when things like this happen, the spirit of fear is trying to sneak into even pastor hearts. But you know, the Lord moved. They had prayer meetings. I mean, they pray, they shout, they make the walls rock. So even though it's illegal, they close all the windows, and they almost suffocate. I mean, it's really that bad, because you have 20 people in one hotel room. Huh? We are all squashed in there. And then, after they're finished praying, they open up the windows and they're quiet again. But to pray. And during that time, the Holy Spirit gave them vision. I mean, it was awesome to hear that. Like one person had a vision, they saw a big umbrella over all of us. The Lord's protection. And one had a protection like the mama hen gathered all of them under their wings. That's how the Lord ministered them peace again. And we could go on with the seminar. And you know, the testimonies which come back from our pastor and pastor's wife, pastor and wife seminars are so awesome. The wives work with their husbands now. The wives reach out to the female congregation. They are now a team. And that's what my goal is. And that's what I want. I want to be used by the Lord. I don't ever want to sit back again. It's fun. It's fun to do what the Lord tells you to do. So pray for us. Amen.
I've never traveled like that. But, well, I have. When I was doing in the Army Engineers, but it wasn't like that. Myself inside of me, I would enjoy that. Now, Irma says, not me, I don't want to. But I could do that, and I'd love it, enjoy it. But the way they bring these people down, they bring them down as tourists. They come down. They don't come. They come down by a busload. They get a whole group, and they come as tourists. to Saigon or wherever they're going to meet, and not as preachers or any of that. They're just tourists in the town. So that's how they get away with it. Amen. Well, I think before we have lunch that we ought to... Kevin, I'm working on you. Come up here and Brother Golden, James, come up here and let's pray for her and for protection for her and all the kids as they begin to travel this way too. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, precious Savior. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson, Lord, for your handmaiden. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have chosen her, Lord, from the foundation of the world, Lord, to occupy this place in this ministry, Lord. Oh, we just thank you, Lord, for the way you have already led her, Lord, already guided her, Lord. We just thank you for your mighty power, Lord, for your mighty signs and wonders you've already worked and already wrought. Lord, we pray strength for her, Lord. Lord, for her physical body, Lord, that works so hard, Lord, that travels so much, Lord. Lord, give her rest for her travels, Lord. Give her strength, Lord, for the travels that are yet ahead of her, Father in heaven. Blessed Father in heaven, Lord, in times whenever she feels like separated from family, Lord, let her feel your comfort in such a great and a mighty way, Lord. Lord, we pray for financial needs, Lord. Release finances, Lord, for these destitute people that they're trying to reach, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for these unwed mothers that are on her heart, Lord, that she's willing to pour out her heart to have such destitute and needy people, Lord. Release finance for the building program that they're building, Lord. We pray that you'd cause newer finance from newer sources that she knows not about, Lord, to come to her, Lord. Those buildings can be completed, Lord, and move on the hearts of those. Lord, you raise up the poor and the needy. You raise people up out of the gutter to set them among kings. And we pray that you would just do that with those precious souls, Lord, that she is working with in the Philippines, Lord, and in the other places where you have her to go as a ministry. We pray for the seminars, Lord, that you would just manifest your glory in even greater ways, Lord, in the hearts and the lives of the young men and young women, Lord, that are so hungry for you, Lord, so hungry for more of the knowledge of your scriptures, Lord, so hungry for more reality with you, Lord. Lord, that all around the world in all countries, people are tired of religion, Lord. And God, let the reality of the real, genuine move of your spirit flow, Lord, like rivers of water through this vessel, Lord. You've sent in your word, Lord, as Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you through the lying on her hands. And Lord, we just lay hands on her, Lord, feeling like we'd rather her hands be on us, Lord, but we obey you in this thing, Lord. Lay hands on her, Lord, knowing that you honor it, Lord, that it is really your hand, Lord, upon her to bless and to help and to cause your word to flow and your goodness and the reality of the things of your spirit, Lord, to continue to flow freely, Lord, as rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord.
The order of physical body.
Yes, Lord.
Strength. Yes, health. And renewing into you.
Yes,
by your strength,
you said your mercy.
Your word saves every day.
Clearly, that your strength.
We appropriate your healing. Put your needs, God.
Right on with your head to your feet.
Word of the living God.
Oh, God.
Your face. Life to her.
Life
in restoration.
In Jesus'
name. Yes, Lord. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Lord, we thank you for the refreshments of food that's ready in the kitchen. Bless it to our bodies. Make it health to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.